This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
So I want to talk to you today. I have two things I want to say to you, encourage you as a pastor and to you. And if you're new here, I think it's still for you. If you've been here forever, it's still for you. If you're still on the fence, this is still for you. Encouraging a message that I want to challenge you with today. A couple things I'm going to ask you to do for me is to put on your imaginary seatbelt. I felt like for the last 3 days, that's all I've heard on every airline is please make sure your seatbelt is fastened. And I love what they always say, right? They say, even if you're just sitting there, leave it on, because I love how they say, if we hit unexpected turbulence, like what does that mean? Unexpected turbulence, like they want to play it down, even though like, you're probably about to die. All right. So anyway, I want you to put on your imaginary seatbelt because I do want to challenge you today with something. And then, you know, I say this sometimes, but if you're new to our church, we are at the end of the day, we're what you call a Pentecostal church. Like we believe in the Spirit. We believe that God has amazing things, that he's still active. He still does miracles. He still wants to speak to your life. And today I want to be a little Pentecostal with you, if that's okay. And so just some things I want to challenge you with. We are coming at the end of what we do as a church, 21 days of prayer and fasting, where we're giving up. And I don't know about you guys, but man, it's like it's Wednesdays are 21 days. When I pray, I get close to hitting walls, man. Like I'm at a wall right now. Like one of the things I've given up for 21 days is I haven't had a soda. And I'm like, yesterday I've been wanting a soda. You know how that is when you're like in the fast, you're like, gosh, I just need that one thing. And my mind even started to go, you know, a sip would be okay. It's just a little, just to calm that craving in me, you know. They say that 21 days, we get that off of Daniel. Daniel fasted for 21 days, but they also believe, whether it's true or not, that anything you do for 21 days successfully becomes a habit. And so maybe there's some things in your life that will become a habit for you. But I want to talk to you about 2025 and you, and I hope it's directed at you on a spiritual level and in a challenge you and encourage you. And so if you want to hit me with some amens, yes, boos, I mean, all of it, you can throw it all at me. But when I came here as the lead pastor of this church 3 years ago, I knew something about me. I knew that I wasn't a blesser, and that's a gift to be a blesser. I knew I wasn't a blesser, and I knew I wasn't a yeser. You know what a yeser is, right? You know, like yes, sir. I knew I wasn't a yeser. I came here 3 years ago knowing that I was a builder. My yes to come to CLC to be the pastor here was going to be attached to this one question. Do I think I could come here and help build? Do I think I could come here and help build a life, help build marriages, help build the house, help build the kingdom, and help build the church? And it was an easy yes for me at that time because we saw this as a building house. It was a building house. And it's important that you know if someone's a builder, because builders speak differently than blessers and yesers, all right? They just speak differently, right? And I'm all for blessings. I preach it. I believe it. I love it. I'm all for the blessing. But when the blessing comes and the blessing goes, because that happens in life, you know, blessings come, blessings go. It's those seasons when you're not seeing or you're not feeling the blessings and you're not feeling God. It's those seasons where sometimes we feel shifts happen in our faith and our walk and different things like that. And what you realize is it comes down to what the builder gave me that helps sustain me. It's what the builder deposited in me that helps me withstand those seasons where I don't feel like I'm being extremely blessed. It goes beyond the blessing moments. And a builder just talks differently. And a builder will sometimes get up into your business a little bit. And I just want permission. I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, so I'm going to do it anyway. But I kind of want your permission, like, to be a builder for a few minutes today. And just get into your world, because a builder says things and you know that, oh, now I'm going to have to do something with what that builder just told me. Like I have to do something with it. And I just feel it within me that God is up to something. And you could say that for CLC. I think you could say it across the world. I just think God is up to something in 2025. And I just say it, I feel it. I talk to other people. I can't say, oh, I know what it is or it's this. I just sense that God wants to do something. It's that priming that I feel like God has primed us and primed the Christians to say, hey, I want to do something bigger and deeper than you probably have ever experienced before. But sometimes with that, we have to understand what are we asking for? Like, what are we looking for? Big word in the church, sometimes we say, well, we want revival. I don't know about you, I want revival, right? I want that. But do we know what we're asking for when we want revival? Because revival is a whole heap of work. It's a whole heap of work. Like, and if that doesn't resonate with you, this might. A revival might mean there's nowhere for you to park your car. A revival may mean that you lose your assigned seat. This one might cause you to leave the church. A revival may mean you don't get your latte at the cafe because there's not enough time because there's so many other people getting lattes at the cafe. Like, sometimes we ask God for blessings, but we better make sure we're built to handle the blessing that He wants to give us. And I just want that for your lives and for our lives. I want that for our church. I want us to be all that God has intended us to be. And I just think God has a word for your life in 2025. And I felt like as I prepared this and I prayed and I'm like, God, what do you want? It's a little unique from a normal Heath message. But I believe as I come out of 21 days of prayer and fasting, that I'm preaching this for you, but I'm preaching it for me. 2025 and me, 2025 and you. And God has a word for your life. And it's not just another word. How many know many of our lives are filled with words, like filled with opinions? Some of us have been wounded by words. But God's words are not like anyone else's words. Like the Bible reminds us throughout, like His word is a light to your path. His word is a lamp unto your feet. Like, it is the truth that does not change, even in the midst of our ever-changing world. Like, it is a rock to which we can build everything on. But it's about having a posture in our hearts, a posture to say, God, I don't want my way. I don't want my way. God, I want your way, which requires us to get out of the way. Get out of the way so that we can have His way. And so as I came to the end of 2024, personally speaking, probably like most of you, I was reflecting on the year that was, reflecting on what happened in 2024, what was accomplished or what wasn't accomplished in 2024, and casting my mind and my thoughts into 2025. And in that, I sensed God challenging my heart and challenging my spirit. I felt it in my spirit that God was questioning me. And the question was, Heath, in all of your planning, in all of your dreaming, in all of your believing about the year ahead, in all your planning, was faith at the centerpiece? In all of your planning, is it a planning of faith or is it a planning of just playing it safe? And honestly, my mind and my thought went to this inner conversation with God where I'm like, God, you know me. Like, I'm driven. I'm that guy. I just can't stand status quo. I don't like to be mundane. I don't like dead air. I like things to be moving. And I'm like, I'm driven. I'm like, God, you know I'm driven. You know, I've got plans. I've got a calendar full of stuff. And it takes faith to do these things. And I'm like, I'm having this conversation. God, I'm believing for big things in my life and in my church's life. But I still felt this challenge. And this challenge was like, Heath, are they plans of faith or plans of playing it safe? And it brought me to a pondering conversation that reminded me of my trips to the gym. Now, I have a routine when I would go to the gym where part of my routine was I would always go in and the first thing I would hit would be the treadmill before I would do anything else. And I'd like to run on the treadmill. And what I would always do is I'd go up to the machine and I'd put my headsets on so none of you talk to me. And put my headsets on. Just kidding. And it was like my hour of just me. And before anything happens, as soon as I got on the machine, And as soon as the machine realizes that someone is on it, there's a button I push as quickly as possible. And that button says manual. Because I don't want that machine that's been pre-programmed to tell me what workout I will be doing that day. Like even though an expert programmed that treadmill, programmed that machine to work my body on an incline or flat or at certain speeds, I don't want the machine telling me what to do. So I pushed manual. Because on any given day, you know, I don't know, I could walk in that day and I don't know how I'm going to feel about what I want to do. I don't know how do I feel that day? What do I want to do that day? Like any day I walk into the gym and I walk on that treadmill, it's expected to how I feel decides what I want to do. And so I hit the manual. So I'm going to wait till I get on the treadmill and I'm going to hit the manual button, which gives me back the power. Gives me the power. And I will choose what pace I'm going to go. I'm going to choose if I want to go uphill. I'm going to choose if I want to go downhill. I'm going to choose if I want to go fast. I'm going to choose if I want to go slow without anybody or anything interfering with the process of my workout. And I begin to think about my plans and my dreams and my calendar and my ways. And I begin to think about my life and the year ahead. And I just begin to wonder. And I wonder it for you. And I just begin to wonder, am I pushing manual when God wants to do supernatural? Am I just pushing manual when God wants to do supernatural? Like am I saying ahead of the year, God, this is what it's going to look like. God, this is the dreams I have. This is what I want to do. Here's the manual that I want to override the supernatural. Because we've got places to go, right? We've got places to go. We got things to do. We got vacations planned. We got expenses that we have to take care of. And we got these priorities that we've set for our lives and for these years. And we say, God, here's the good things about my priorities and my vacations and my expenses and everything else that I've got planned. Here's the good thing about it, God. We reason it and say, well, faith is attached to it, though. I've attached faith to it. And I feel like God wants to say to us, you are attaching your faith to your manual, but I didn't ask you to override my supernatural. I didn't ask you to do that. And I want to say to us today, I believe God is trying to give us in this season ahead, and I believe this is to my core, that God wants to give us a new pace in this year ahead. As a church, as you as a believer, as people, a whole new pace. Like he wants to kick us into a whole new momentum and a whole new pace that he has for your life. Maybe one you've never experienced before. But here's the deal this morning. I wrote it down this way. His new pace will require some new processes. His new pace is going to require some new processes. And here's the scary part. If you and I are married to our process, we will violate the pace that God is trying to give us. We violate it. And we will say, God, give me your pace during those amazing worship experiences. God, give me your pace with the right sermon on the Sunday mornings. We will declare it. We will follow it. Say, I want to do all these things that God has for me. But we will walk right out of this room. And as soon as we get home or walk into the next day, we push the manual button. We push the manual button and say, you know, this is how I'm going to live my day-to-day life. This is how my day-to-day life is going to happen and how it's going to work. And we override everything that we've declared to God. We override everything he wants to do inside of us. So momentum gets lost. Though we say and we act and we believe it and we want all these things, our lifestyles begin to say something totally different than what we declare. Amos 9 is a strange kind of chapter in the Old Testament, and it paints this picture, and I want you to see this. This is what it says. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all of the hills, and I will bring my people, Israel, back from exile. What a picture of God showing up again. Then he goes on and says, they will build the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. Basically what God is saying, he goes, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something fresh. And as I read this passage, you realize this process doesn't make sense. People are acting outside of their roles. Like if you've ever built a house or seen a house in the process of being built, this verse is basically saying something like this. Here's what's going to happen in this house built. The interior decorator is going to take over the person who's laying the foundation. That doesn't make sense. The person laying the foundation is now going to take over the one putting in the windows. Like it just doesn't make sense. And all these people that should never be on site at the same time are going to be on site at the same time, which is going to mess with your plans. And the reality is God is saying, I'm not interested in your plans. I'm not interested in your structure. Church, I'm not interested in your sameness. I'm not interested in your same routine. His pace requires a new process. And some of you this year are saying, hey, let's rebuild the city. Hey, let's build our church. Hey, let God give us new things. Some of you are saying, like, God, meet all of my needs. And yet we refuse to be unmarried to the process that we've set in place. And so God says, I need to mess with you. I need to change some things around in your life. I need to do some things different, and it's not fun. Like, I need to mess with your process because he won't put new wine in old wineskins. He's not going to put new wine in old wineskins. That's basically what he's saying. And I believe God is saying to us, I won't pour out fresh into something old. Whether it's an old mindset, whether it's an old habit, whether it's an old relationship, whether it's an old addiction, whether it's an old way of thinking, maybe it's your old casual view of God, I'm not going to put something fresh into something old. He won't put his new wine in old wine skins. And even if we do try to put new wine in old skins, it will only tear and rip and prove ineffective. And there are so many people in God's church. There's so many people who have relationship with God wasting energy trying to repair wineskins that God says, I'm not going to use those anyway. Yeah, we're just going to hang on to them. We're just going to hang on to those horns, man. Let's just see what happens. And you wonder why you feel like God is absent. Galatians 5 reminds us this way, since we live by the Spirit, not by yourself, not by your friends, not by others' opinions, we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with your friends, your money, your work, your family. It's not what it says. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. And some of us this year, we have walked into 2025 out of step. And this is the year to get back in step. And it might not be a step you don't like. It might be a step that is very uncomfortable for you. But if you want to see new things, if you want to see supernatural, if we want to see revival, we have to match our step with the Holy Spirit's step, which means everything about your plans has to be surrendered to God's overriding planning for our lives. But how many of you know his plans are great plans? Man, they're great plans. They're bigger than your plans. They're better than your plans. They're greater than your plans. Any individual thing you could come with, God is so much better. I remember thinking about this. It's like my first time I went skiing. I was a youth pastor. I was a new youth pastor. And I'm from Florida, born and raised. And I thought when they said, hey, let's go skiing, I thought they meant let's go water skiing. I'm like, I got you. And they're like, no, snow skiing. And I'm like, what is that? I barely ever seen snow in my life. Like what? And they're like, no, it's going to be fun. You're going to love this. It's awesome, but yeah, you'll love it. It's going to be great. And so my first response to them is, well, what do I need? And so they give me all this gear, and one of the things they handed me was a snow boot. I'm like, first of all, what is this thing? It looks like something I should be like walking on air. It's heavy. It's big. And they hand me these snow boots. And they said, well, you need these snow boots, right? I'm like, all right. And so after about 20 minutes of trying to put this on my feet, I finally get it on my feet, and I stood up, and I was like, wait a minute. This is unnatural. Like, this looks stupid. And I remember I'm like walking around. It was awkward. I was clumsy trying to wear this big, heavy, gigantuan boot. And I'm walking around. In fact, even a couple times, this Florida guy fell. And everyone's watching me. Like, this is embarrassing. This is not me, right? And so I'm like, I got to get out of this, whatever, you know. And I'm complaining. This is stupid. Who does this? You know, all that type of thing. I was treating this new boot. Here's what was happening. I'm treating this new boot, this new thing that on me, I'm treating it with the old process. Because this old process, because I was used to wearing these. Like, so I was trying to walk in my new boot the way I would walk in these, my shoes. Because this was familiar to me. Like, this was common sense. I knew this. I knew what they can do. I knew how they felt. Like, I knew where they could take me. I knew how much they weigh. I knew how to wear them. I knew all these types of things. And I was putting on a different footwear, but I was trying the same thing that I did in this footwear. And it didn't work. And listen, this is for some of you this year. You've got to get that God is going to give you some things that are really going to feel heavy. It's going to feel out of the norm. It's going to feel like I'm not used to that. But it's going to require you to say, listen, he's going to give you new expectations, new responsibilities, new open doors, and they're going to feel heavy. But that boot was not made for walking. It needed a new process. It was made for skiing. So I had to go higher because at the bottom of the slope, there was no terrain that this thing was created for. So guess what we do? We go to the top of the mountain, to the top of the slope. I'm in my boot and I still look stupid. Just like this. And I'm like, this is so unfamiliar to me. The terrain is different from back there, but it's just so unfamiliar. It doesn't feel right. And I've got the boot and the skis on, and I'll never forget one of my leaders saying, PH, Pastor Heath, you've got to trust the equipment. They are built to do this job. And I'm like, okay, that's good for you to say. And they told me this. They gave me this advice. And they said to me, they told me, put my shin to the boot. To take your shin and put your shin into the boot. Do you know what that would mean? I had to lean forward. To put my shin into it was like, okay, I'm going to lean forward. Your shin needs to touch the boot because my posture was so out of whack. And by putting my shin to the boot, I was no longer in control, but trusting that this thing will do what it was built to do. And listen, the more you put your shin to the boot, the less weight you're going to feel. And for some of you this year, what feels heavy is not going to be heavy. If you learn that your job is not to control, if you learn that your job is not to question, your job is not to manually push the button and override, but let God do what he is able to do. Like, it will give you moments of a new pace, of a new process that will cause a whole new things for your life. Like, for me, as soon as I did that, I put lean forward, I down this hill. I don't know how many animals I hit. I don't know how many children lost their lives. I felt a couple. No clue how to stop these things. But hear me, there's so many things stopping all of us all the time. They stop your pace with God. They stop your giving. They stop your church attendance. They stop your zeal and your passion. They stop your fervor for serving God. They stop your worship. They stop your prayer life. And CLC in 2025, God is saying to us, I'm done with the old wineskins. Done with the old. I need you to get in the boot, put your shin to the boot, and lean in. And lean in and let the momentum take over. Let God take over. There's a passage in the scripture where there's this picture of God sending revival. It's a great one. It's an Old Testament where a prophet writes and he gives us this picture of what revival really looks like. And it requires for us to have a shin in the boot mentality. And it's found in the prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel gives us this picture, and he records it this way. It'll be on the screen for you, but this is what it starts to say. Verse chapter 47, it says, "The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple." Now listen, what's the temple? The temple is the house of God. The temple is the church. The temple is the presence, where the presence of God dwells. So that he brings him to the temple, and look what he sees. "And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate, and he led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east." And listen to this. "And the water was trickling from the south side." Now, it's a picture of the beginning of something new that is running down this mountain, this water that is flowing, and the source of this water is the house of God. It's the house of God. Can I let you know this morning, CLC, if revival is going to come from somewhere, it's not going to come from the government. If revival is going to come from somewhere, it's not going to come from education. If revival is going to come from somewhere, it's not going to come from an author who writes a book. It's going to come from the house of God. This is where it comes from. We are the source. And as the river begins to flow, right? This is what the Lord is speaking to my heart so much. This next part of the scripture. So the water is starting to flow. And look what it says. As the man went eastward with a measuring line. With a measuring stick, a measuring line in his hand. He measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. Ankle deep. Then he goes on, he says, he led me through ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and he led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was waist deep. And he measured off 1,000, but now, come on, church, listen to this. Now it was a river. It was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. And he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this? Do you see what's happening here?" I just want to encourage you. This is an amazing scripture. You can see what's happening. I'm asking us as a church in 2020, if I'm asking you individually, do you see this? Because for so long, we have brought our measuring sticks into the house of the Lord. We've decided what our manual looks like. "Well, I'll come, God. I'll be a part of this thing, but I'll only give you ankle deep." I mean, isn't that suffice? It's not saying that I don't believe. It's not saying that I don't trust. I mean, I have some of myself in the water and the things that you want to do. I'll give you ankle deep attendance. I'll give you ankle deep commitment. But at least my feet are wet. But at any time, my feet can be dry. My choice. My manual. Like, I want good things. We say this. I want good things for myself. I want good things for my family and my church. And my response back to you is like, do you though? Do you? Or is it just easy to feel better and safer by just dipping your feet in the water? We just deep it in just a little bit. God, I can experience it. But when things get challenging or you need a little refreshing, when life gets heavy, it's just really easy to say, well, then I can jump back in. Then I can get my feet wet. And this is what's the Big C church's problem. This is the Big C church, what they've made the temple. A place where we show up with our measuring sticks. And we measure our commitment and our attention by the things we think deserve our commitment and our attention. We measure our giving by what we think is important and worthy, not what God has blessed you with and commanded you to give. We measure our decisions based on what it will require of us or what it will take from us. And my question to you today is, here's the problem, and I'll put it on the screen, is we bring a stick to a place where we're supposed to swim. You're quiet. You're like, man, pastor's lost it today. Can't you just be funny? Tell a joke. But we bring a stick to a place where we're supposed to swim. Like you may have my ankles are wet. Isn't that good enough? I give. I'm here. I love God. And I'm just telling you, church, I love all those things, and I love those responses. But I'm challenging you that God has more. He has way more for you. Way more. And some of you say, well, I'm at least waist deep, Pastor. Like, I'm not up to my ankles. I've gone in a little deeper than most people. But what you're really saying to God is like, yeah, man, I'm God, I'll give you half of my life, but the other half is for me. The other half belongs to me. I get to hit the manual on the other things. And God, I want transformation, but I don't want to deal with the sacrifice for the transformation. God, I want blessing, but I don't want to give and I don't want to serve to get the blessing. And so we just bring a stick. And I told you from the beginning, like, I'm a builder and I want to build. And we could just come together and we could laugh and we could smile and we could do all those things and we could send you out there leaving today knowing that there's sticks in your lives. And then you're going to bring it back next week and you're going to say, well, Christianity doesn't work. I've tried it. It just doesn't work for me. And I would say to you, no, it works. It's the stick that's the problem. It's the stick that's the problem. And I've heard it before. Well, the church has hurt me. They don't understand me. I get all the way up to my waist and then something happened. Hear me. Stop measuring with your stick. Get involved this year. Jump into your church all the way. Throw the stick off to the side and watch how God will bring revival to your life. Get involved and grow you. We do it for a reason, not because we just have to have another program. We believe in growing you deeper in your faith. Grow you is swimming. We want you to swim. Get involved. Find ways to serve. It's called swimming. And you got to put your stick down so that you can get all that God wants to give you. And I know this is uncomfortable, but I just believe in the potential of you. I believe in the potential of our church, but not when we hold ourselves back by our measuring stick. I wrote down this way, we've made a church a place of hydration instead of saturation. We've made it a place of hydration instead of saturation, and there's a difference. The other part of that is this, be on the screen. We've made gatherings faucets instead of floods. Like we lived in a house, Kim and I lived in a house that flooded once. There's a difference between a faucet and a flood. Totally. When our house got flooded, everything was changed. Everything was touched by the water. Everything looked different after the water. Like there was no going back to business as usual after that. Some things had to be thrown away. Some things we couldn't use anymore. Some stuff had to be replaced. The flood, true story, the flood changed the smell of my house. It changed the smell. It changed the layout of my house. There was no option for us but to realize the flood took some stuff and we had to get some new, fresh things for our house. And some of you in the house tonight, it's going to take a flood to fix some of your marriages. Some of you in the house, it's going to take a flood to fix some of your diagnoses. It's going to take a flood to fix some of your stories. It's going to take a flood to fix some of your families and friends. It's going to take a flood to fix some of your finances. It just won't work with a faucet full of God. You need a flood. And I know it's January and your church said, hey, let's start 21 days of prayer and fasting and let's go after God. Let's make God a priority. And so we do our measuring sticks or we talk about getting rid of our measuring sticks. But February's coming. And guess what happens in February? Oh, I pick it back up again. Well, prayer and fasting's over. I've already failed at my resolutions. Some of you are done. Like, the Bible reading my church is doing, like I've already missed a couple days, might as well just pack it up for this year. The prayer focus is over, and so let's just pull the stick out, right? And Christian stick living will only get you so far. But swimming will take your faith to a whole nother level. And in 2025, I want you to go all in on God. because I just believe that level is going to open doors of opportunity and surplus and provision like you've never seen before. Guys, listen, we need to stop measuring when we should be swimming. When we should be swimming. Seriously, when you're swimming, you just don't have time for distractions. And when you're all in on God, you just don't have time for all this. If you've ever been in a pool doggy paddling, you're just hoping you make it. You're just swimming as best you can. Just stay afloat. And with a stick, here's what we do. We walk into church and we criticize things and we walk into church and we measure everything, negative comment everything. We doubt everything. You bring your stick into this church, into that church, and you take your stick into worship. Well, I don't like that song. I like that song. Boy, that kid's off key. And boy, the band could be better. Well, the lights are in my face. I mean, yeah, let's go on. All right. And then I don't like this or I don't like that. We bring the stick and you look at your neighbor and you're like, hey, what did you think? What did you think about that? And they look at you and say, I don't know. I was too busy swimming. I'm just too busy staying at swimming, man. I don't know. I'm swimming in God's worship. I'm swimming in the Word. I'm swimming in the presence of God. And I lost my stick somewhere. I don't have it anymore. And so I just got swept away by the current. You just don't have time for all the other distractions. You don't have time for measuring. Because you're just all in on what God has for you. And Ezekiel's saying, do you see this? Do you see what your life can be? In fact, Isaiah even writes it this way. See, I am doing an old thing. What? Are you reading it? Is it on the screen? See, I am doing a what? Come on, say it with me. What? I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Right? And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It would scare me. I walked in and did a poll today, and how many people said, well, I don't perceive it. I don't see it. Because I'm here to proclaim to you, God is doing a new thing. And I want you to perceive it. Maybe 2025 will be the year of no more stick. And it's a time to swim. Like, let the water go over your head today. I know I'm using metaphors, but let the water go over your head. You know what that means? Let it go over your intellect. Let your intellect down. Let it go over your comments. Let it go over your opinions. Let it go over your doubts. Let it go over your ways. And then it says, then the scripture goes on and tells us, as he measured off the stick and the waters got so big that the only option was left to swim. And look what it says in verse 7. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arab where it enters the Dead Sea. Listen, when it empties into the sea, the salty water becomes, oh, fresh. Some of y'all are salty. You need to be fresh. All right, so let's go 20-somethings, right? You with me? Come on. Salty fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows where and makes salt water fresh. So where the river flows, guess what it says at the end there? Everything will live. Everything will live. But then watch this, church. Watch this. Verse 11. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for the salt. Like this river that has the power to change and transform everything. The river from the house of God that can turn dead things back to life. But the swamps and the marshes, I'm not even going to mess with them. I want you to see this because there's less salt in a swamp than there is in the Dead Sea. So the salt is not the issue. It's not dying because there's just the swamp's not dying because there's a surplus of salt, right? The salt is not the issue. You know what the issue is? Surrender was the issue. Because the swamp was not giving up its terrain to the water. And in 2025, some of us need to get back, need to be done with swamp life. Be done with swamp life and let's get back to the flow. Like, we have to stop taking the river into your swamp. Stop taking God into your life, like into your swamp. And you wonder why Christianity is not working. You wonder why maybe our church is like, it's growing. I'm not going to be negative, but we need to explode. And instead of getting out of your swamp and getting into the river, we take God's flow and we take God's surrender into our swamp. Like you come to church and you feel the presence of God, but then you go back to that swamp relationship. Like you hear from God, then you return to that swamp attitude. Like God gives you direction, and then you go back to those swamp friendships. Like God says, I got something fresh for you, I got a direction for you, and then you return to that swamp behavior. Like we can't afford to take the river to the swamp. The swamp has to come to the river. Your stuff, your junk goes to the river. And the river is saying today to you and I, I'm not going to surrender to your friction. The river is reminding you today, you don't control this thing. You're not the manual. I'm not going to allow you, your friction and your ways to decide what it is that we do. We have the potential as a church to reach a region that is filled with dead things. Things that God wants to bring back to life. But hear me, the church can't bring life if we are spending all of our energy in the swamp. You know what the Christian swamp is? The Christian swamp is like backbiting, negativity. I'm not even saying we have those things here. I'm just saying to protect us. Backbiting, doubting, competing, disunity. And God's like, it's a swamp. It's a swamp. I'm not even going to waste the water on something that refuses to bend its knee to the power of the river. I'm just not going to do it. And some say, well, that just really sounds uncaring, Pastor Heath. I'm glad I came to church today. Boy, that just really makes me think Jesus doesn't care about anyone or anyone. Well, maybe we need to read our Bible even more, because Jesus would say, shake the dust off your feet. Because I have a job to do. I have places to go. I got a river I need to be in. I don't want to waste my energy. Like there were places like Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, where Jesus wanted to help, where he wanted to heal. And the people were like, who are you? Like, we don't even believe in you, Jesus. You're just Joseph's son. And he's like, I can do nothing here. And he left. And we aren't even Jesus, and we still choose to stay in the swamp. It's like me taking this boot. Well, I know what it's made for. I know it's made for skiing. I know it's made for a specific terrain. I know it's made to be on tops of the slope. That's its job. That's what it's supposed to do. But yet it would be like me taking this boot, this ski boot, and saying, you know what? I'll take it to the swamp and see how it does. I'll just wear it over in the swamp areas, in the marshes, and see how it goes. How many of you know it won't work? The swamp will take you down. And our calling is to be a river of God to the community that we live in and that we operate in. We cannot put the calling into a swamp. It will sink. And the problem is, when we live in swamp, life is heavy. God seems, you're like, man, God, it's just heavy. Lord, I'm supposed to serve you, and this just feels heavy. Like, I don't know if I can do this. And you know what God, the word reminds us? You're only heavy because you're living life with a measuring stick. When you're in the flood, Bible reminds us, my burden is not heavy. My burden is not heavy. We are only experiencing that because we're in the swamp. Because God says, I'm not going to live in the swamp. I'm going to go to the Dead Sea. And this year, we have to realize our pace and our process. We can't pray, God, I want new pace. God, I want new things in my life. But, God, don't touch these things in my life. Those are mine. I want process. I want new things. God, I want this. I want that. But, God, wait. These little things over here, I'd appreciate if you just leave those alone. Those are mine. Those are my precious. Okay? So don't touch those. But these other things, you can have it all. Ankle, knee, waist. Not really swimming. Like, that's how we live our life. If we don't change this year, guys, we will look very much like we do every year. Same faucet, same swamp, same hydration, same just survival. And we come back year after year with the same things, same problems, same priorities. And the problem, we try to blame it on everything else, but the problem is not the river. The problem is not the house of God. The problem is not the source. The problem is not God. The problem is what we will allow God to do through us and in us. And some of you have just got to get rid of the stick. the measuring stick that you have in your life. Why measure everything else? And some of you need to get out of the swamp that you choose to try to live in and yet bring God into it instead of doing the opposite. And I wrote it down this way because how many know there's good that can be swamp? There's good that can be swamp. Good friends, good intentions, good behaviors, good things that can be swamp, right? Well, God, you can have this area, but this area is mine. Like, right? You create a swamp. Well, you can heal me. You can fix my marriage. You can make a way for me, but don't talk to me about my money. We create a swamp, a place where God cannot go. So I simply wrote it down this way as we close out. So today for CLC, here's our mandate. We either want the river to flow or press manual and tell the river where to go. We can do that. Probably could survive, maybe. I don't know how effective spiritually we'd be, but we could make it ourselves. Hey, listen, God's God. He's going to love us. He's going to be here. We'll just keep doing things manually. We'll just press the button. I'll show up from time to time. I'll give from time to time. I'll involve in time to time. We'll do a couple cute events. We'll have Sundays. We'll all smile and laugh, walk out the door. We'll just push manual, and we'll just float away. Or we can say, no, I think I'd rather have the river to flow. I'd rather have all the things that God wants to give me. I'd rather see us build into all that God wants to do in 2025. I'd rather see us build. I'd rather see us become what God's intended for us to become. So that the river can help bring those dead things back to life again. So that you and I can get out of the swamps that we choose to live our lives in. Why did I close with the scripture? So when the river flows, when the flood is able to do what God said it would do, Ezekiel tells us that where the rivers flow, there were going to be so much life. He talks about fish everywhere. In fact, he says fishermen will be standing shoulder to shoulder. It's the picture he gives us, that there's so much for everybody. It's like, in my mind, it's like, could you imagine churches standing shoulder to shoulder? Because there's so much harvest. So much. Like, could you imagine Christians standing shoulder to shoulder experiencing things of God like they've never experienced before? Man, I was thinking about this today. Could you imagine Christian high school students standing shoulder to shoulder winning their campuses for Jesus Christ? College students standing shoulder to shoulder saying, listen, we're going to break down the stereotype of liberalism and anti-God, and we're going to win our campus for Jesus Christ. Standing families standing shoulder to shoulder like we want what's best for our kids and our families together. And it goes on to say in the scripture, Ezekiel tells us, like, and the trees will bloom in season and out of season. That means, well, normally this tree only blooms in winter. No, this tree's going to bloom in winter, fall, spring, summer. It blooms in season and out of season. There will produce fruit all the time. Not just one season, but all seasons. When the river flows, the leaves will not wither. It's just you and I getting on the same page with God. Like, I want these things. And at times it feels like, I know it feels like for me and our team and other people, like sometimes it feels like, man, we're just pushing you. Come on, just get into the river. Get in there, man. You know, like, you ever been pushed into a swimming pool when you didn't want to be pushed into a swimming pool? You don't like that. It's not fun. And I know it feels like, man, they're just trying to push us into this pool. They're just trying to get us into the water. And I get that. And I understand that. And it can feel that way. But I'm not trying to push you today. That's not my heart. I just want to convince you of something that is so vital to your walk with God. I want to convince you of something that's so vital to the success of our church, that together we could build something that is so great and so significant. And so I don't want to force you into the river, but why would we only want to have our ankles in something that is so life-changing? Why would you want your waist in something that is so destiny-changing? Like, wouldn't you want to go all in and say, God, I want it all? And I hope I don't have to convince you, because you're sitting in the room today, that you being here is so vital to your faith. So why do we need to convince you? Because when the river flows, when the river flows, church, this is so paramount for us, because I think of this scripture. When the river flows, all those fishes out there are going to bring their mess in here. And we need to be on board. And we need to be ready for that. I'll close with this. This is not an either or. Like, man, you presented a message that's either or. I have a choice. It's either or. I just want to encourage you, don't make 2025 an either or year. Here's the good news. He is the God of both. He's the God of both. Like, it was the fish in all the waters. It was the trees on both banks, not one. It was fruitfulness, not just in one season, but in every season. The leaves didn't wither during one time and were alive another time. It was all the time. Why? Why? Because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Then it says, their fruit will serve you food, provision, and their leaves will bring healing. What it tells me, guys, is that when we gather together in the presence of God, no matter what you're facing in life, maybe it is a healing, maybe it's just some difficult seasons, maybe it's financial, maybe it's you're hurt, maybe it is relational. Man, we just line them all up. Whatever it is that you are experiencing, what it's telling me is when you come into the presence of God, you find all you need. He provides all the things that you need. And I just want us to go in 2025 and get off the hamster wheel and get off the cycle where we go up with faith, down with faith. We come into January like prayer and fasting. I'm going to do it. Ah, June hits. It's like, oh gosh. Can't wait to get to the cabin. Just need it. Then September comes. We're like, man, I'm back in. I'm in. I'm all in. I gotta make it better. And we go through the cycle of faith. Like we ebb and we flow. We're hot. We're cold. We're excited and we're frustrated. So when we come to church during those seasons, we're like, man, I'm just here on Sunday because I just need a little hydration. Just a little hydration. And so we fill our little cup up, right? Our little cup of spiritual water, and we take it, and it goes on and on for us. We go through those seasons. Well, I'll see you in 2 months when my cup runs out. So I can just get a little more water, a little more hydration, and that'll sustain me. But hear me this morning. That's not what I'm reading. I'm not reading that out of the sanctuary came a cup of water. What I'm reading is out of the sanctuary came a flood. I'm not reading in this scripture that it was just a little bit of food to help you through, a little bit of provision, a little bit of fruit to get you through. I'm reading that there was healing. I'm reading that there all your needs were met, that every single part of you, not either or, was made whole. That's what I'm reading. I'm reading that every time we are in the presence of God, there is something for you. There is provision. There's food. There's leaves. There's a fruit. There's a presence. The presence of God doesn't show up and say, well, today maybe I'll do something, but next week I won't. The presence of God doesn't show up and say, well, maybe today we'll do something cool for those people. Sprinkle, sprinkle, right? No, he's the same today, forever, always. And in 2025, what if we don't try to control the process, but what if we decided to lean into the process? We don't control the process. We lean into the process. What if in 2025 we took our finger off the manual button? Like, what if we put shin to boots and said, I'm just going to trust God this year? Like, what if all of us together collectively saying, you know what, we're going to swim in the river. Not ankle deep, not waist deep. I'm going to go all in swimming in the river. I don't know about you, but I don't want just a revival Sunday. I want a revival life. We're on a revival Sunday. I want a revival life. The question this morning is, do you want hydration or saturation? Like, do you want manual or supernatural? Like, some of us, man, we're so cool. We come in here, we get the shower, and as soon as we walk out the doors, we're drying off. How about we just don't dry off? We say, God, you're all over me, and I'm going to live this life that way. I close with this. I know we get so disillusioned with church. I don't care if you're a newbie, been here forever in the church. It's easy to get disillusioned, right? And it's easy to create a stick because of that. We get disillusioned. We create this measuring stick. And it's like, you know what? I've seen this before, heard this before. You know, sometimes I think it's God, but I've already seen that before. I measure. All right, God's already done this before. I've heard this sermon before, Pastor. You stole it. It's a measuring stick, and we measure it, and it's exactly what the enemy would love to do for your life. Hey, you, take this. Carry this with you. This will help you. This will keep you grounded. Take this stick. That's exactly what the enemy would would love to tell you today. Like look out for yourself. Protect yourself. Measure these things, right? Some of you are offended. Take a stick. Some of you are like, well, I just don't like the way they did that. Here, take a stick. Man, you know what? This is just, man, an hour and a half of my Sunday, my week to this. Here, take a stick. But what about all the other things? My kids, you know, they need to be involved in everything. Take a stick. Well, I don't want to give my money. That's my money. I earned it. Take a stick. I could spend all day. I'm just asking us today. I think God's saying, hey, listen, man, don't measure it anymore. Put the measuring stick down and just start to swim. Watch how God will do incredible, incredible things in your life. I think God would say to you, listen, I didn't ask you today, church. I didn't ask you to measure man. I asked you to trust me. To trust me. So I just end with this. I'm so thankful that God loves us enough not to say what we want, but to say what we need. And we need it today. We just need it. We need to get to a place where there's a life that's on the water is entirely different than a life that's in the water. And I want that for you this year. Would you stand with me today as we just close out? Lord, I pray saturation in this room. I pray examination in this room. Examine our hearts. I pray, God, that you would help us to put shin to boot. To lean in. That God, there are so many men and women in this room with such incredible potential. That God, you want to use them to do great things, but they can't seem to get out of the swamp. Help us, Lord, metaphorically, as it said, to dive into the river, to dive into the flood, which is essentially just saying, God, I want to dive into your presence. I want to go all in with you, God. Means I'm creating a prayer life. I'm going to get into your word. I'm going to get into church. I'm going to do all those things that it takes to be in the river, to experience you, to know that these are the things that are going to bring true meaning to my life and to my family, to my purpose and to my destiny. May 2025 in you, may 2025 in us be so marked differently because a group of people said, I don't want just a revival church. I want a revival life. Give us that today. Give us that revival life, Lord, that depends on you. It says, God, I want you in my life. Lead me. Lord, some of us need to put down the measuring stick today. Say, God, I'm not going to look at that anymore. I'm not going to be distracted by that anymore. My unbelief is not going to be my measuring stick. My doubt is not my measuring stick. My diagnosis is not my measuring stick. My ways and thoughts are not my designation, my measuring stick. You know what? Even my lot in life, the bad things that have happened to me so far, they are not my measuring stick. I go all into the river. There supplies everything that I need for my life. So we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Come on, let's worship you for a moment.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, we sing it again.
Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside the Lord. Get up and praise the Lord.
Let's sing it one more time.
You get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw my hands, praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah.
thank you for allowing me to be vulnerable with you today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to pray one last prayer with you this morning. If you're here today and you're like, hey man, the river begins for me. Putting down that stick, getting out of the swamp really begins with me just saying, God, here's my life. I want to go all in. I want to go all in with you. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. And this is between you and God. We're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to cause any of those things to focus on. But if you're here today, you say, hey, listen, that's me. I want to go all in with him. I want to put it all down right where you're sitting. I just want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you, would you just put your hand up real quick? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. This is your opportunity. Thank you. See your hands, man. Yep. Anyone else? Thank you. Lots of people. Lord, we just come before you today. We close this prayer with this, Lord. Lord, we just simply make it our statement. God, we go all in with you. 2025 is about me and you, God. It's about me and you. Help me not to make it about anything else but me and you. Because when we make it about you, God, everything else seems to fall into place. Priorities come together. Things happen. We don't have to make it happen. Take our finger off the manual button and say, God, do what only you can do. So if you're here today and you raise your hand and say, God, I'm all in. Right there where you're standing, just say, God, in your own way, just say, God, I want to go all in with you. Help me, Lord Father, to get out of the swamp, put down the stick, and allow you to do what you want to do in my life. I give you everything. In Jesus' name. Lord, now finally, I just pray for your people today. May your face shine upon them. God, may they see you do great things in their lives. We look forward to this church and how you're going to multiply and how you're going to bring increase in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. I pray, God, that you as a congregation, as a pastor, as a pastoral staff team, may we be humble. Keep us humble and close to the cross. We thank you for that, Lord. So pray blessings upon your people. Watch over them. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give up some Lord's word and praise. Okay. Before you take off, I want to say two things. We have this prayer corner over here. We've got some people that love to pray with you. Nice dark corner. If you just want prayer today, anything, you need to be saturated instead of hydrated, this is a place to go. Go find them. They'd love to pray with you. Maybe make a decision. Do that. And then we'd love to see you Wednesday night at our prayer night. If you're a young adult, check out our welcome center. We love you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.